that kind prayer that's been offered and ask you to continue in prayer for us for the time that we'll stand before you this morning. There's a question posed in Scripture. There's multiple accounts of it in the Gospel, but the question is posed two different instances. And it's an interesting question, and this question has been weighing upon my mind, and I want us to endeavor to look at it, if the Lord will bless. I'm certainly appreciative of the prayer that's gone before and ask that you to continue fervently at the throne of grace for the time we'll stand before you. If you have your Bibles in Mark in the 10th chapter and the 17th verse, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" So this man comes running to the Lord and poses a question. What must I do that I may inherit eternal life? And that's a question many people have, I would suppose. What must I do that I might inherit? It's funny to me that he answered his question with his question, but nonetheless, let's proceed forward. He says, Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." Then he says, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said to him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." That sounds like this guy's doing pretty good. He said, "I got all that licked. I got it laid by. I've done all that from my youth up to this very point in time now." You know, I can assure you one thing, brother. If you ever have somebody tell you that they're not a sinner, they just did because they lied. Because we all suffer with sin. We all struggle with it. We all fight it. And it will be a continual battle as long as you draw breath between the spirit and the flesh. Because these two are contrary and they remain contrary until that great day that we're delivered from the likeness of this old sinful flesh. And I got good news for you. When the Lord comes back and brings this old sinful flesh out of the ground, it's not going to be sinful anymore because it can be sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. So you won't have to worry about that anymore. There'll be a day we'll sin no more, but today's not that day. He answered and said to him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I'm thankful that's there. That gives my soul great comfort this morning. That Jesus said, beholding him, he loved him. I'm going to tell you something about the love of God. God's love doesn't cease. I'm thankful we can sing that song. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Why? Because what the Lord doeth, he doeth forever. Over in Malachi, he says, "I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." You see, when the Lord saw this young man, it says, beholding him, he loved him. I got news for you. He loved him before he gave him the answer he just gave him to. He loved him before he ever came and asked the question. As a matter of fact, you'll find in Scripture that he loved him before the world ever was. Most amazing truth. As a matter of fact, if you want to find that for yourself, you can turn to the Lord's Prayer. In the 17th chapter of John, you'll find where the Lord is praying. And this is what the Lord says. He says, "Father," this is how he starts this chapter off, "I thank thee that thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give," this is going to answer our question before we even get there, but anyway, "that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me." Now, these two men, this particular account here, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life? Well, we found the answer already here in the 17th chapter of John. Jesus says, "I thank thee, Father, thou hast given me power over all flesh, that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me." If you were doing a word problem in school, as many as means equal sign. That's what that means. So guess who's going to be with him in glory? Every single one that the Father gave him, as many as. That's exactly who's going to be there. But you keep on reading in the 17th chapter, and on the right-hand page down at the bottom, it says this. He says, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. And then in my Bible on up on this side, it says, for thou hast loved me from before the foundation of the world. Now, he says, in Malachi, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. In James, He says, every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So I want you to know that not only does God not change, there's not even a hint that he may. There's not even an idea, a shadow that he may possibly ever change. So we understand fully that what God doeth, he doeth forever. So we go back to this young man. The Lord said, seeing him, he loved him. I'm going to tell you, brethren, that I am thankful this love that the Father said he loved this man, because I'm going to tell you, this man here, it gives me a little hope. You see, this man had a lot of problems. First of all, he's prideful. This man is extremely prideful. If he says, oh, I've kept all these from my youth up, I promise you he's prideful. The other thing is, he's not looking at things from a spiritual perspective. He is looking at things from a fleshly, natural perspective. You know, it's one thing to keep the law out there. And Paul said it that way once. Paul said, I was alive once without the law. In other words, when the law was out here, I was good. But there come a point in time in my life that the law was in here. And when that happened, sin became exceedingly sinful, sin revived, and I died. Because he understood not the letter of the law, but the spirit of the law. You see, the spirit of the law. It's one thing to say, oh, yeah, I've kept all that. Oh, I do no murder. But we talk about our brother or our sister behind there. It's the same thing. Oh, no, I've not committed adultery. The Lord said, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed adultery already. See, when you start looking at the spirit of the law, then you realize just how really bad of a transgressor we are. This young man, he's not seeing that. He's, oh, I'm doing good. You know, how would we deal with someone like that? Think about that. With what compassion might we answer that, dear brother? We'd probably say, son, you don't have a clue what you're talking about. We might rebuke him harshly. But the Lord didn't rebuke this young man, although the Lord knew exactly he was a liar. He could have, I'm talking about, undressed him right there in front of God and everybody. What do you mean you've kept these? Are you a fool, son? But the Lord didn't do that way. He says, beholding him, he loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He said, man, this following the Lord now is big and start hurting. It's all right to follow the Lord as long as it doesn't cost a sacrifice on my behalf. But now, you mean it's getting in my pocketbook? He's like, I don't know. I really want to follow him, but Lord, that's going a little too far. You know what, though? That man failed. But the Lord loved him. You and I are miserable failures in many aspects of our life as well. But I'm thankful that the Lord didn't set his affection on us because of what we did for him to earn it. I am thankful that it cannot be lost because of something we do to lose it. I'm thankful that it was done in spite of ourselves, because when we were yet enemies, he loved us. It's amazing. It's amazing when you start to begin to fathom that. I don't want to preach on the love of God, but I'm telling you, it's incomprehensible at this point in time in our life. But I will tell you it is sufficient. The other instance I would like to look at, so this man said, what must I do that I might inherit eternal life? The other one that I would like to look at is found in Luke in the 10th chapter and the 25th verse. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Now, he's asking this question for a purpose of tempting. And there was many times that the Lord was tempted by people asking questions. They were trying to trap him. You know, and then I hear that, I mean, just think about this while we're here, okay? Just contemplate this concept. Paul told the young preacher Timothy to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. And then you have brethren that would open up the floor to questions. That's crazy. I mean, Paul told Timothy to avoid it. So, here, how many times, time and time again, they come to him tempting him, asking questions. I'm just telling you, I'd rather believe God and trust in his word than I had depend on the importance of man and his ability to comprehend things. I'm telling you, it puts a lot of stock in man, but moving forward. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Okay, so both of these individuals pose this question. Now, the question is answered in the question itself. What should I do that I might inherit eternal life? All right, the word inherit literally means to be an heir of. That's what the word inherit means. So he's saying, what should I do that I might be an heir of eternal life? This is the question that both of these young men pose. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you do to be the heir of anything? What do you do? I'd love to go on and look at this Samaritan. I have some good stuff right there, but we're going to press on. What do we have, and how do you become an heir of something? You know, my oldest, Logan, is about to be married. And I told him, I said, I'm giving you a warning, son. You better check out somebody before you marry him and say I do, because you get the whole kit and caboodle. He's not just marrying that girl. I mean, she's got a whole family that's connected to her. You better be prepared to be connected to that whole family. I'm just telling you. When you marry somebody, you're kin to somebody. They become an heir, right? If you're born into someone's house, you're their heir. You know, if you're adopted into somebody's house, you're their heir. Isn't it amazing the Lord's got us all three ways? We are heirs of God by adoption, by birth, and by marriage. So what must you do to obtain eternal life? Well, you got to be an heir. How are you an heir? Now, I want to look at this one real quick. Real quick. Two places in Scripture. In the 8th chapter of Romans and the 12th verse. Now, let me back up. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. This is a statement of fact. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So here he says, here's how you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? You're his. All right, so if you're an heir, it's because you're his. And he goes on. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, here he says, we're sons. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. So, who? That's an heir, is it not? A son? One born in your house? He said, if his Spirit's within you, you're a son. You're an heir. So he goes on. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. So here, we're sons. Why? Because of adoption. We're sons because of adoption. He has adopted us. All right? So we're brought into this family of God. I'll tell you what we deserve, to be left out there, unswaddled, unclean, polluted in our own blood, left for dead. That's what we deserve. But he's looked upon us with love and with compassion, and he hath adopted us here. We've been adopted into his family. So if you go forth, he says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Now we got the answer. What is it to inherit? It's to be an heir. He says, okay, here's the answer. If you are children, then you're heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. So, the two young men asked, what must I do that I might inherit eternal? Okay, the answer is, you must be an heir. To be able to inherit anything, you must be an heir. Now here he says, because the Spirit of God dwells in you, you are an heir of God, and therefore, by the Spirit of adoption, we cry, Abba, Father. So here, we have, here's how you're an heir, you're adopted. All right, then you go on over to Galatians in 4. Galatians in the 4th chapter, he says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors under the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. All right, here again. We're heirs. Why? Adoption of sons. So this shows us, now here's what's really interesting though, because this next verse is really good. Verse 6. And because ye are sons. Now I want you to think on this one. I want you to let this one soak in. If there's ever an opportunity for the Word to tell us, so you could be a son, he said, no, this is not what he said. He said, because ye are sons. Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. He says, not to become a son, but because you are. And when his Spirit dwells in you, we, through that Spirit of adoption, we cry out, Abba, Father. He says, not to make you one, but because you are. Now, why is that? Well, that third way that you married to came to somebody through marriage. You know, and I kind of wish we still had arranged marriages. But anyway. A father would pick a bride for his son. The father chose. That's how this happened. And he had to pay a dowry for this bride, to purchase this bride for his son. I'm going to tell you, the father chose a bride for his son. And his affection and his love was set on us, according to the 17th chapter, from before the foundation of the world. I'm going to tell you that we were sons according to promise before the world ever began. What must I do that I might inherit eternal life? The answer is in the question itself. You must be an heir in order to inherit eternal life. And thanks be unto God, brethren, that this morning we can rejoice in that Spirit that is shed forth in our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. This same Spirit that shows us and we have love that flows from breast to breast. This same Spirit that's within us that we have these desires to serve God in the fullness thereof while we dwell here. The only reason we have those things is because you are sons. You see, because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. I'm going to tell you, the way you receive eternal life is you're an heir of God. And brethren, I'm going to tell you, being an heir of God, we're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And that little bluegrass song they sing, saying, I want my little 40 acres in a cabin in heaven. I don't want none of that, because we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Why is that going to happen? Because you're sons, brethren. You have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefilable, and that fadeth not away. I want you to understand those three things. Incorruptible. Man, nothing's going to come along to mess it up. Isn't that good? We have an inheritance that's incorruptible. Nothing's going to come along in the future that might mess up what we have in Christ Jesus. Incorruptible, undefiled. I'm going to tell you that I used this illustration one time. Brother David Montgomery posed a question. What are you talking about? From the congregation. Bless his heart. But anyway, I said, have you ever got to the point where you ran out of figs and you go in there to the pantry and you got some hot biscuits in there and man, you got one jar of figs left and you look in there and you pop a top and there's just fuzz growing on top of the figs. Now, y'all understand what I'm talking about, right? He had no idea what fuzzy figs was. He was like, what's that mean? It means that the canning process, there was something in there that defiled the preserves and it showed when you opened the lid. I'm telling you that we're placed in God. We're wrapped in His hand, sealed with the Spirit. We're in Christ and Christ in the hands. And that's a threefold cord and it's not going to be broken. The only one's going to break it is one stronger than a strong man, and there's none stronger than our strong man, brethren. Incorruptible, undefiled. I got news for you. It fadeth not away. It doesn't run out. I'm thankful, brethren, we'll drink from the saucer for all of eternity. Because we'll be basking in the incomprehensible love of a Father who's loved us so much that His affection was set on us before the foundation of the world. Knowing what we would do and how we would answer, just like that young man, he said, beholding him, he loved him. I don't know why he did. That's what I marvel at. But I tell you, I can rejoice in it this morning that he looked upon us with compassion when we were polluted in our own blood, cast out, unswaddled, uncleaned. And he covered us with his skirt. And the time was a time of love. Oh, what a glorious time that we rejoice in this day. And yes, I'll tell you, there's never been a greater gift bestowed upon us, poor sinners that dwell on this old low ground of sin and sorrow, than the very Lord Himself taking upon and being robed in the likeness of sinful flesh and coming down here for the purpose, and He knew exactly for what purpose He came, brethren, to redeem us poor wretched sinners from ourselves and our transgressions and our sins, so that we could live with Him in glory, enjoying an inheritance because we are heirs that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Now check this out. Reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God. I'm thankful there's a reservation up there and it's got our name written on it. And Paul said it this way. He said, I'm a straight betwixt two, having a desire to depart. Listen to what he said. Which is far better. He said, but for you it's needful that I stay. As long as we stay, let us praise Him as we ought. Because I'll tell you, He's worthy to be praised. He's done something for us that none ever could have. And it's something that is so good and so perfect and so immutable that you can't even mess it up. In that, I rejoice. May the Lord bless you, is our prayer.